In a world where there is a scourge across the land, taking the very life breath of the people. A world rife with snoring. One man and one show stand tall in the battle against sleep apnea. That man is Richard Webb. That show is the CPAP Sleep Specialist Show. And the time is now.
Good morning, Houston. Thank you for waking up fresh with us, the CPAP Show, here on 1560. Your host, Richard Webb, is in studio, and I am his humble assistant, J-Rod, and this morning we will be talking with you guys about sleeping disorders, the most common sleeping disorder, obstructive sleep apnea, and the gold standard in treating this disorder, positive air pressure therapy. Previous shows, we've talked about the three P's: practice, patience, and persistence. These three ingredients are a recipe for success when we're dealing with our positive air pressure device. The number to call is 713-439-1560. This is the Sunday before the big Sunday. Christmas is just around the corner. Most of us are doing our last-minute shopping. Most of us are out there enjoying the weather, even if it does go from hot to cold. Some of us may even have a cold now because of this weather. But hey, we live in the greatest city in the United States, Houston, Texas, so it's only natural. For those of you joining from surrounding cities, we want to thank you for joining the CPAP Show this morning, and we hope that you all are having a great day, enjoying this time of year. It's a great season to be in. But today's show, we're going to be talking about some things that are pertaining to our CPAP. Knowing your CPAP is one of the most important aspects of this treatment. And some of the things we're going to talk about in getting to know your CPAP is what to expect in the first days of life with CPAP. The first days are always the most trying days. You're getting a feel for your CPAP device, your mask, and your equipment. So we're going to be talking about that, the do's and don'ts of CPAP therapy. There are some things that you should know that you should do, and there are some things that you should know that you should not do. So we'll be talking a little bit about that as well today. Also, we'll be talking about what the settings mean, what to do if a problem arises, what can go wrong, and what to do when it does go wrong, and also about the seasonal changes, and also knowing that it's your machine and your CPAP also has changes involved as well. So we want to hear from you guys. 713-439-1560. Obstructive sleep apnea is prevalent amongst 20 to 30 million Americans. And really, 10% of those really get diagnosed. So we want to raise that number. We want more people to take this silent killer seriously because we know that obstructive sleep apnea can lead to a lot of different health problems. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, depression, irritability, just to name a few. So it is important that we get a good night's sleep. Sleep is the foundation of a healthy lifestyle. If we don't get a good night's sleep, we're really not going to get anything else taken care of, and we're not going to be able to work and function fully. And in this time of year, we need to be at our full so that we can get into them stores and get our kids and get our family members all the gifts that we want them to have. So without further ado, our host and the wonderful boss of Monitor Medical, you hear the kissing, huh? Mr. Man. Webb, how's it going this morning?
You got a brown nose this morning, Chief. Good morning. Wake up, America. You're here on the CPAP Show. Now, Jason, I got to ask you the most important question. Have you bought your wife her Christmas gift yet? And I know she listens to this show, so don't tell me about that roll. I mean that watch you bought her. So have you taken care of the important stuff this week?
I'm a last minute shopper, so you know, short no.
Have you been out on the roads? I mean, it is even this morning on the way into the towers here for the transmission of our show. I couldn't believe all these crazy people out there driving around. I was doing 70, and they were zipping past me on the way to the early morning mall, early morning Galleria shopping.
Hey, you know, this coming up week, crazy. I am going to be flooding the stores because, like I said before, and my wife, please forgive me for this, but I am a last-minute shopper, although I do know what she wants, and I will be sure to get that because I want to be able to go home a happy man come Christmas time.
You know, and you've got little kids, and that's the fun part of Christmas is seeing their faces all aglow as the commercials, advertisement and the songs go, but it's really fun to see little kids being so excited during the holiday time, and my kids are grown, and so when I get around to the next generation of little webs in the house, we'll be really excited. Well, you know, the CPAP show, we talk about a lot of things, and Jason introduced some of the topics for today, but you, the callers, have an opportunity to control the direction of our broadcast when you have your problems that you can talk about or when you've had your success stories. People call us every day, multiple times a day, to tell us about things that went wrong, and we will try to share fixes because there are so many things, so many corrective actions that you can make, so many right ways and wrong ways you can have when you're having a positive air pressure, when you're having a mask over your head. It's not normal to sleep with a mask on your face, pressure blowing in your nose, but it does help. It does take care of it. We're going to be talking today about some of the do's and don'ts and things that you can handle that when you're wearing positive air pressure, if you have sleep apnea of some form. But feel free to give us a call, 713-439-1560. That's 713-439-1560. And also, a lot of people email us their questions at the CPAP show at monitormedical.com. Or you go to the monitormedical.com website and click on the Contact Us button and feed us a little bit of a front-end question and ask us to bring that question on air. Or if you want to register to get our emails talking about CPAP. And in fact, we were talking about Christmas, Jason, and we have established a Christmas bundle on our website. And I'm going to click over here on this nifty little computer screen here. And we have a Christmas bundle because there's a lot of people out there that like to buy their spouses, believe it or not, something for the holidays that they will hope that they'll wear. And one of the things that we have on our promotional item is a big CPAP pillow and some wipes to keep your equipment clean and a snuggle hose. So this is a discounted package that you can buy.
And it's a great package to take advantage of. And I was going to use that, Richard, in parts of the do's and don'ts. One of the things that you do want to have when you have a CPAP machine is accessories. Accessories, I believe, are very underutilized items. When you look at CPAP accessories, you know, when you're dealing with the mask, say for instance a patient is given a CPAP machine that has a mask that covers the nose and the mouth. You know, its ideal position is on the back, mm-hmm. but most of us who have OSA aren't able to sleep on our back because of the condition, so we're forced to sleep on our side. So in the beginning stages of CPAPism, what you want to do is be able to sleep on your side. And the CPAP pillow that we have is a product that has basically cutouts that look like C's on the sides of the pillow. Most of us have to move the pillow all the way over to the end in order to allow us to sleep on our side to have the hose hang down over the side of the pillow. This new CPAP pillow gives you a nice firm center, but these grooves are cut out so that when you move to your side, the hose is resting over the pillow out of the way. That's something to take advantage of, and it makes life with CPAP a little bit easier. So that's some of the do's that I would recommend to my patients who have problems, for instance, of sleeping on the sides and on the side of, and the mask kind of dislodging and causing it to leak. So
yeah,
that's some things I think.
Well, and a lot of, you know, people that wear these masks tend to mess with them at nighttime, pull them and snug and tighten it and loosen it. And if you have a pillow that supports your head, and it's not for everybody.
It isn't.
It's not for everybody. But if you have a situation where you wear a mask and you turn, you may be bumping it off your face, causing it to leak and blow air in your eyes. Mm-hmm. Kyle, I think we got a call today.
All righty, let's talk to John. How you doing, John?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
We're doing well. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. I went and visited you yesterday.
Yes, sir.
And I found out that you had a radio show, and I realized something after 6 months of trying these masks on that I didn't convey everything I needed to tell you so that you could fit me properly.
Now, let's talk about that, John. I remember you very well because, you know, one of the things about Monitor Medical is that we try to stay open 7 days a week.
Yep.
So we had Mr. John come into the office on Saturday.
You can work the
Sunday
Well,
I'm
shift.
On the answering service. So, Richard, I get calls on Sundays. I work 7 days a week, trust me. So Saturday we're in the office, and John comes in, and he talks about having a full-face mask. And so, John, let's talk about that. What are some of the things that you told me that you failed to mention in the beginning of your setting of a CPAP mask?
You've been a long-term user of CPAP, John?
Yeah, about a year.
Okay.
I started about a year ago, uh-huh. And I've had three masks up until yesterday. what I failed to tell y'all was that I guess because I don't want people to know I have false teeth, I didn't tell you that I take my teeth out at night.
Mm. Mm. Well, your face changes.
That's correct.
The shape
and
of
I finally
your face
realized
changes.
That last Friday when I couldn't sleep all night long. The air was blowing by me. I said, there's got to be something wrong because every time you fitted me at your place, at your office, it sealed off properly. But I was wearing my teeth, and I wasn't laying down.
So what did we do this time, John, that was different that made for a better mask fitting?
Well, I took my teeth out. And sure enough, you said, you know, I have the mask for you for that application. And you were absolutely correct. Last night I tried it on for the first time, and my mask stayed sealed all night long.
Oh, that's
I
good.
Never budged. I slept till 7:30 this morning, which I haven't done in a year.
Wow, that's awesome. And also, John, talk about how your wife feels about that new mask.
Well, she finally got a good night's sleep. The other mask, the air was blowing so hard that it would actually blow in her face and keep her awake at night.
You see, now that's a common problem, John, because if a mask doesn't seal properly, then it begins to leak. Once it begins to leak, the air pressure increases. The sound of the device becomes louder. Then it becomes a hazard for the spouse because the spouse said, the reason why we got this mask for you so we could sleep in the same room, but now I'm about to go to the guest bedroom again. So proper mask fitting is so imperative, John, and we appreciate you calling in this morning.
My pleasure, sir, and I thank you for your help.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for calling, John, and stay listening to the show. You know, John is one of the reasons why we have to ask questions as a technician, because as a technician, it's important to know how a person sleeps so that you can get a proper mask fitting. Mask fitting is the most important aspect of the setup. If the mask isn't fitted properly, the patient doesn't get a good night's sleep, and neither does the wife. So once we got him in the office, he took the dentures off, we fit him with the mask that worked. Now he gets a good night's sleep, and now his wife gets a good night's sleep. That's what it's about the CPAP show, about directing you in the right direction to get you the right mask. So stay tuned for after the break. We're going to continue to talk about the do's and don'ts of CPAP here on 1560 The Game.
Welcome back. Thanks for the doobie introduction right there. Give us a call to the CPAP show. Our motto here is Wake Up America, 713-439-1560. You know, Jason, we had that prior caller, and he'd had a mask that he'd had a problem with for a year, basically.
A whole year.
And we were talking during, you know, when you're in the business, you talk about strange things, and we're talking about best fitting masks. And the thing about CPAP is some people will get a machine and a mask, and they're good forever. And there are those people that will change their products over and over and over again. And it's really because they don't find that's the right it. You know, I'm kind of that way on tennis shoes. There are certain tennis shoes that fit my feet because I have wide feet. So certain tennis shoes fit me better, and I try to get into some nice branded Nikes, and they're too pointed. I just can't fit into a Nike, and that's kind of like a CPAP mask. There are some masks that are a medium in one mask and a medium in another mask. It's a total different. And I'm standing in line at the grocery store looking at a guy with a big nose, and I think, oh, let's see, I would try to put him in this kind of mask, or the lady that has a real tiny little nose and a tiny little face. You know, sometimes they're harder to fit. And you have to keep trying it. And if you went and started on CPAP therapy and you got a mask and you got a machine, you went home and you had trouble with it and you said, that's it, I can't do it. Well, don't stop there. There are so many choices, so many things that you can do to try changing something radically different, radically changing the mask and the style.
Yeah, you know, I believe that's probably one of the most important parts of a technician's job, is to ask questions so that you can get a right mask. Because one of the things that I learned in my early days as a CPAP technician is that one mask is not for all. And just because you have a nasal mask and you thought that it worked on a patient previous does not mean it's going to work on another patient. So for me, having questions asked such as, do you wear dentures? Do you have a deviated septum? Do you have sensitive skin? All of these variables can play a role into finding the right mask, because one of the things that I noticed over the 10 years of doing this is that the one major reason people give up on CPAP therapy is because of the mask. They try it for one or two nights. They've come to the conclusion that it doesn't fit, it's not properly working, and they just give up, and then it just develops dust and it ends up in the corner or in the closet somewhere. So I always tell patients is, know that you have options. Options are available. There's five different category of masks. And in those five different categories, there's different masks for that category from different manufacturers. And like Richard said with the shoe analogy, I always say that, you know, you got Nike, you got Adidas, you got Reebok, you got ResMed, you got Fisher Perkel, you got Respironix. It's just the same. Different manufacturers fit different mask faces so that it gives you the best fit. So exhorting your options is always most important. And one of the things that we do at Monitor Medical is we always try to offer people a 2-week trial period, because we know it's going to take a couple of nights to use the mask to really determine if it's going to work. And this goes into the do's. You know, one of the things that you want to do when you're getting acclimated to CPAP therapy is practice putting the mask on several times. If it doesn't fit properly, calling the technician that set you up or the DME company that you went to and then provided you with the mask, and tell them that I want to try something else. Because if you exhort your options, your chances of you becoming a successful CPAP user jumps up tremendously, because right now we see about 60 to 70% of people staying with the equipment, and we want to see that number drive up to 100%. Our goal, and I think that's why we want to do the CPAP show, is because we want to see people get a good night's sleep and drive up that success rate that we see can improve. And if we can improve that by helping, leading you in a direction to say, hey, if this mask doesn't work, let's try this one, then we can get some success out of it, and that's what it's about.
You know, a lot of times people go to their doctor, and the doctor doesn't tell them what they want to hear, so they switch doctors, and that doctor may tell them the same thing, or they may say, let's take an entirely new approach. And that's kind of the same thing if you're getting a CPAP machine from somebody and you have a bad experience, and they say, oh, well, we're here to tell you there's a ton of opportunities, a ton of alternatives, a ton of different things that you can try. You know, the weather's been changing, Jason. And here in Houston, it's funny because it's cold at night and hot during the day. Sometimes we'll have the heater on at night and the air conditioner on at the day. We've got the tree in the house that's causing my wife to make a lot of sniffling sounds because of the byproduct that the green stuff puts out in the air causes you kind of sniffle and sneeze. And one of the things it just brings to light is how important it is to make sure that your equipment is clean, your mask is clean, you have your humidifier working properly. And it's this time of the year that I really stress on your heated wire tubing. And this is a line of products that most of the manufacturers have gotten into. Years ago, cars didn't come with CD players. And they did, they came with radios. And now the, no car comes without a CD player inside. You know what?
Wait a minute.
Like?
Hold up. Did you just say cars didn't come without CD players?
In fact, they used to come with eight-track tape players. If you can.
What's an eight-track?
It's one more than a seven-track. And so, you know, this is something that as we were talking about, you have to modify your behavior. And something could work for 5 years and then suddenly stop working, so you have to change that behavior. And as we brought in this this giant green wreath with a lot of greenery on it, now everybody's sneezing. My wife likes to look at it, but we're sneezing, and so it's caused to be an allergen. And so it's very important to keep the air in your nose clean, to keep the filters clean on your machine, and to increase the humidity, because we are running the heater at night. When you run a heater in a house, you actually are decreasing the amount of moisture in the air. And so to increase that moisture so it's more natural, you have to increase the heater setting on your PAP device and this heated wire circuitry. And some of the manufacturers are now beginning to include it. But if you have a product like Hibernite, which Jason was talking about, is an accessory, it's an aftermarket product that you can add. The Hibernite device will allow you to increase that humidity so you don't have that itchy, dry, sneezy feeling in your nose.
Exactly. You know, I remember, Richard, several years ago when Fisher-Paykel came out with the first heated circuit tubing. It was called the Thermostart. And it was on their version of their CPAP machine. And Fisher-Paykel is a manufacturer that we carry as well at Monitor Medical. And when they came out with this heated circuit tubing called Thermostart, we saw that it was reducing a lot of things. It was reducing the amount of moisture that was getting trapped inside the hose, and it was also allowing the patient to use the machine longer. So what happened is other manufacturers started to take note, and ResMed came out with one called the Climate Control. And when ResMed developed the Climate Control, it was a tubing that became thinner than the standard tubing. Your standard tubing is 22 millimeters in diameter, and now this one is 15 millimeters in diameter. So they've dropped it 7 millimeters. So it's all about perception. It appears to be smaller, lighter, which gives the patient a little bit more better experience. And their version of the Climate Control not only kept the exterior of the tubing at a temperature, but it gave the patient the control to control the temperature at the mask, which is very great for these seasonal changes that we're seeing. In the wintertime, you don't want cold air to be touching the nose. And a lot of times I've seen that patients would not use it in the wintertime because the humidification caused their nose to get too cold. So now ResMed is allowing the patients to be able to increase that temperature up to about 78, 80 degrees, which will allow the patient to use it longer. Now you have Hibernite, which is an aftermarket product that can be used for any CPAP machine.
Any machine.
So if you have an older machine that's seven, even 8 years old, you can add the Hibernite tubing to this particular machine and give you that optimal therapy that you're looking for. I had a patient I set up with it recently that her major complaint of not using her CPAP machine was that the air's too cold. So now she says the air's just right. So these are some advantages you can take to get your life with CPAP easier, benefit from it more. So stay tuned for after the break, where we'll continue to talk about CPAP therapy here on 1560 The Game. Give us a call,
7131 Stevie Wonder bringing you back. You know, I saw him in an airport a while back. He looked like he needed CPAP. I got to tell you, old Stevie was big Stevie. He was kind of thick. And if you're listening out there, Stevie, give us a call. Let us know how your CPAP's doing. So give us a call, 713-439-1560 with your Q&A on CPAP. CPAP, continuous positive air pressure. This show is to talk about breathing problems when you sleep.
Speaking of famous people who may or may not be on CPAPs, Shaquille O'Neal is one who is on a CPAP machine. Most people may or may not have seen his story recently on 60 Minutes, where they did an interview with him. He's got a new girlfriend, very young, very attractive.
Half his age.
Hey, but hey, you can't knock him if he can get it. So, but he was talking about how he had this sleeping disorder, and he went to the University of Harvard, and what they did is they did a sleep study on him, and it was determined that he had moderate sleep apnea. So he was going through the process of talking about how he was getting used to life with CPAP, and the mask that they fitted this guy with was called the Swift. And it was so funny because they almost couldn't strap the back of the headgear because this guy's head is so huge.
I saw that on the video.
And it looked so funny. And he was like, yeah, I'm going snorkeling. You know, a lot of people make that relationship to a nasal pillow mask. I'm going snorkeling. Or they say, Luke, I'm your father. You know, give a Darth Vader analogy to it. So, but he was just talking about how for him, it wasn't what he thought. And it got me to thinking about, you know, how people perceive CPAPs. Most of us look at a CPAP machine as being this big apparatus that's going to take up half the bedroom, that's going to be completely sealing our face off, and we think of it as a life sentence. And he said that, you know what, it actually helps me sleep better. And he said, if she's going to be happy, I'm going to be happy. And his attitude changed on that. So when people look at this equipment and they perceive it to be something that it's not, once I get into the home, I show them that, look, it's about the size of a female high heel box, shoe box. So it's very small and compact. It's very lightweight. And then the newer masks that are coming out, because CPAP is evolving just as everything else is in this world, it's getting easier to accept because it's not that bulky and it's not that big. So the fact that he was making fun of it and he was making jokes about it, it just got me to thinking that, you know what, that's the way we need to do a little bit of it. Because, you know, a lot of people, when they think, okay, my doctor sent me to a sleep lab, I got a sleep study, now I need to get a CPAP, it's a depressing feeling. I mean, it's natural to be depressed about it because you think that it's going to be a hard process and, you know, it's a bad thing, but really it's not. It's just an adjustment to a lifestyle. And when you're just modifying your lifestyle, the way that you're sleeping, it takes a little time to get used to, a little bit of practice. But once you start to get a good night's sleep, you really start to realize what you've been missing, and that makes it worth it. Because I cannot tell you how many patients I've met that when I walk into the house, it looks like they're shooting me with their eyes. I mean, if looks could kill, I would be dead before I would even enter the house, because they got this perception that, you know, oh, man, I got to get this CPAP machine, and I don't want it. My wife has to talk me into it, and, you know, I'm just, you know, huffing and puffing like a little kid. But once I sit down with them and I tell them about the machine and I show them the new mask, the small, that look turns from one of, I'm a little bit upset with that I'm getting this, to being like, that's really what it is. You know, it's the attitude changes, the perception changes, and they get a little bit happier about it. And they say, you know what, I think I can do this. And then that same patient, 2-3 weeks later, they're calling me and saying, you know what, it's the best night of sleep that I've gotten, you know, and it's the best thing, you know. And it really does work if we give it its due diligence and its time and its practice and patience.
The three P's: practice, patience, persistence. Say that three times fast. It's a mouthful. Give us a call, 713-439-1560. The CPAP game. We're going to have a new game show. The 1560 The Game is 1560 The CPAP Game Show. You know, there has been a lot of myths throughout the centuries, and I was kind of looking online earlier this morning and looking back at some of the incorrect myths that were out there, like the Earth was the center of the universe. That was thought for millennia, and it was discovered, obviously, that even the sun wasn't the center of the universe. That taking baths is bad for your health. Now, that was actually thought through the Middle Ages, that if you took a bath too often, it made you sicker. One of the ones, that my favorite one, is I don't need to wear my seatbelt, right? Now, who doesn't not wear their seatbelt? Everybody, everywhere. Wears their seatbelts.
Of course.
It's a modification in the way they do. Smoking is cool. I can remember as a kid, Jason, and this is before your time, I can remember in grade school making ashtrays for your parents at school. You made a little palm print and smashed a little gooey little thing into clay, and making an ashtray for your mom and dad because everybody's mom and dad smoked. They smoked in classes. They smoked in the movie theater. They smoked in restaurants. And now we know that that's wrong. For a long time, people thought that being overweight was a sign of prosperity. If you're thick, you must be better off than everybody else. Well, snoring and stopping breathing is one of those new myths that people just tend to ignore and say it's not a big deal. If you're snoring and you have sleep apnea, it's not funny. It does lead to heart disease and stroke and kidney failure and increases your chance of diabetes. And so make that your New Year's resolution to say, I'm going to get checked. Give your spouse a sleep study for Christmas and get them tested to see if they have a sleep disorder. And push them in the right direction to say, it's no longer funny. It needs to be taken care of. It's no longer a myth. We know that it causes you problems.
What about the world is flat? I always thought it was. It's the shape of an orange all of a sudden. Christopher Columbus was the one who came up with that. Is that what they say? I still believe it's flat. I cannot fathom that it's a circle. It's round.
No. Jason, it's the same shape as the top of your head.
That's a good one.
You know, Jason, I was laughing at myself earlier when you were talking about people sleeping together. I had a patient one time that called me a marriage counselor because so many spouses, and it's not only men, it's women as well, that make so much racket at nighttime, snoring and choking and hacking, and the spouses start sleeping in the other bedroom because it just makes too much noise. It causes them to have insomnia.
Yep.
And not only is it just the snoring sound, it's that prolonged breath holding that is the real killer. That's the problem. That's what we're here to preach about, to get people to change their habits.
Yep. You know, I had a patient come into the office yesterday, Richard, and she came in and she had a prescription for a pressure of 7. And she brought in a machine that was given to her by her sister. Her sister was on a CPAP machine that had a pressure of 15. She just couldn't get used to it. And I asked her, I said, did your sister try any different masks? And she said, no. And I said, you know what? I would encourage your sister to maybe look into getting different masks. But while she was there, I looked at her sleep study report, and she had an AHI, which is an apnea, stoppage in breathing, hypopnea, shallow breath, index. And what they do is they determine how many times you stop breathing over the course of an hour, and they put it into an index. And her AHI was 44.5, and she couldn't understand why. She was a very petite lady, but she had a very short chin. Her throat area was kind of big. She said, I have enlarged tonsils. I got a large tongue. And I said, you know, those are reasons probably why. And as we started talking, she said, well, I want the Swift mask, the smallest mask you have, because, you know, in our display room, before we go into the room where we do the setup, we have a big selection of masks that we like to show patients. And I was showing her the different ones and going from the full face to the nasal to the pillows. And as I got to that smaller mask, she said, that's the one I want. So I began to ask her a few questions about deviated septum, you know, mouth breathing. And the first thing she said, I have a deviated septum. And I told her, I said, you know what, I don't think that mask is going to work for you, because when only one side of the nostril is free, you have higher pressure going through that one nostril that could make the nose burn. And she said, well, you know what, you make a good point about that. She said, I'm also a mouth breather. And that prompted me to tell her about this new full face mask that we had. And the name of the mask is called the Quattro FX for her. You know, we're starting to see that manufacturers are starting to get hip on, hey, not just men have OSA. That's a misconception. Women, children, all have OSA. So now we're starting to see masks that are catering to these types of people. And as I showed her the Quattro FX, the first thing she said was, oh, wow, it's got pink headgear. I really like that. And she smiled for the first time since she was there. So as I seen that, I thought to myself, you know, this all is about perception again. You know, if we can perceive something to be nice and positive, we're going to adhere to it a lot faster than if we think of it as something being negative. So as I begin to fit her with the mask, this particular full face mask, it doesn't have a forehead piece and it doesn't go above the bridge of the nose. So the eyes are all free. And one of the things that she told me is that she likes to watch the news while she's laying down before she goes to sleep. It helps calm her. And so I said, you know, this mass is going to help. So this is another thing that, you know, we should do is when we're getting set up, let the technician know some of the things that you do routinely, because we're modifying a lifestyle, but we want to adapt it into the routine that you have so that that transition is a lot easier. So she said, wow, I can see, I'll be able to watch TV, I can watch my news, it's nice and pink and small, I'll be able to breathe through my mouth, I don't have to worry about my nose getting congested or anything like that. So that helped us determine which mask worked for her. And that's why it's important to find that right mask. So keep it here. Locked on 1560 for the CPAP show, 713-439-1560. Join us for after the break. We'll be continuing to talk about CPAP therapy and also talking about humidification changes in seasonal changes.
Back. Wake up, America. Wake up and smell the roses, watch some football, and make sure your CPAP machine is working properly. Don't leave it in the corner. Don't leave it in the closet. I can't imagine how many people out there have machines sitting in their closet all wrapped up nice and neat, the day clean as the day they got it, not wearing it. Well, we have a last segment of our show today. You might still get a chance to get a call in, 713-439-1560. Or email us your questions at thecpapshow@monitormedical.com. And we try to put a lot of information. We try to put all of our prior broadcasts on the CPAP show, the Monitor Medical website, to give an opportunity for people to listen. And Jason and I have made a pledge that we're going to start having some pre-recorded audio video, so you'll get a chance to see us in the reel, and we'll be talking about some masks and products. And really, I think for most people, the masks is the make it or break it, because when you have a sleep study, your physician will prescribe a pressure based on the study itself. And the study says, for this person at this point in their life, they need this pressure. And this the very same person or their twin brother, they can need an entirely different pressure simply because there's a slight variation in their anatomy. So don't settle for failure. Don't settle for, I can't do it. It's something, it's proven to work. It's the gold standard. Positive air pressure is the gold standard for people that have have obstructive sleep apnea. And it will work. And I have a couple of frequently asked questions, Jason. I brought it along with me. And these are the questions that patients have asked us, emailed us in on the CPAP show and said, can I change my pressure?
You know, when you go to a pharmacy like Walgreens, for instance, and you have a prescription that is for some type of medication at 500 milligrams, the pharmacist is not going to give you that same medication at 400 milligrams. It just isn't going to work. Most of the time when you come into our office, you have a prescription that has a set pressure. Now, a lot of times patients have trouble getting used to that pressure. So we cannot just change it, but one thing that you can do is take some responsibility in your treatment. And what I mean by that is we can call the doctor's office and you can call the doctor's office and just say, you know what, doctor, I really like the mask. The mask fits comfortably. Everything is working, but I just cannot get used to this pressure that was set, because when you're at a sleep study, it takes them over the course of 8 hours to reach this pressure, and most CPAPs have a maximum ramp time of 45 minutes. And sometimes it takes time to get used to that, and that's not enough time. So what we can do is we can contact the doctor's office, and you can contact the doctor's office as well, and we can ask for a pressure reduction. We call this desensitization. Basically, what it is a procedure that we do where we can reduce a pressure. Say, for instance, you have a pressure of 15 centimeters. We send in a request for the doctor to lower that number to 10. Over the course of 4 weeks, we will gradually work that pressure back up. It is a key beneficial to helping you get used to the pressure, because the pressure, if it's too high for you to tolerate, there's options of getting it reduced. We just cannot do it by a simple phone call of you calling us. We have to get in with the doctor. That's why communication with the doctor, with the DME provider is critical, because this is a group effort. You know, there's three people involved: yourself, the person who set you up with the CPAP, and then your doctor's office. And if we all work in conjunction, then we can get you to where we can lower that pressure, get you back up where you need to be, because if we can lower it to 10 and you get 70% of benefit, it's better than nothing. And in my opinion, if we can get you back up there over the course of 4 weeks, then we can do something successful, and that's what it's about. It's being involved with your therapy.
I have a question. It says, can I change medical equipment companies? And in a word, yes, you can. Just like you can change doctors, you can change pharmacies. You've got to do what's right for you. If you're not getting the results, if you're not getting satisfaction, if your spouse is sleeping in the other room, if your kids are saying, go sleep outside in the back, because I can hear you rattling the walls. If your spouse says you're choking, if you're suffering from hypertension, you can be related to obstructive sleep apnea. We've talked a lot about that in the past. So, yes, you can change equipment companies. It takes a little work, but it's just like changing your prescription from one drugstore to another. Patient asked, I keep hitting the ramp button, but the pressure keeps going back up. Jason, I'll let you hit that one too.
Well, I think that goes back into what we just talked about earlier. Most of the machines have a ramping feature. Some of them go up to about 45 minutes. The majority of them do. And sometimes that's still not enough time. And I always tell patients, you know what, if you're having trouble getting used to the pressure, let's do it in increments. Because, for one, you have been without a CPAP your whole life. And I always tell patients, don't rush into it. It's going to take time to get used to the pressure. It's going to take time to get used to the mask. So what I would recommend to a patient that's going through something like that is, throughout the course of the day, if you have time, I know we live in a society that's fast-paced. We all have things to do. We got family members to take care of. We got shopping to do. We got all this stuff that's going on in our life. But if you can take time, 5 minutes, four times, that's 20 minutes. Get yourself with that mask on. Sit up in a recliner or in a chair. Turn that air pressure on while you're watching the news, and get yourself acclimated while you're awake. That way, when that transition to nighttime comes about, it's easier because you've accepted the pressure. The body wants to get used to this pressure, but it needs time to get used to the pressure. So we have to continue to work with it. And if it's something like just pressing the ramp over again, then in the beginning we have to do that, because there's always hurdles to get over in the beginning. But once you get over that final hurdle and it becomes a good night's sleep, everything you've been through previous is worth it. And that's why this lifestyle, it is acquired, but it is a successful lifestyle once you get used to it by going through the practice, the patience, and the persistence of getting used to life with CPAP. And sometimes that means continuing to press that delay button, that ramp button, until you finally get used to it. It does get better.
CPAP therapy is a lifestyle change, and no doubt about it. But the benefits of it are just unsurmountable and uncountable. I can't think of all the positive adjectives to make about wearing positive air pressure, other than it's going to make you feel better during the day. And if you're feeling bad, it's the game plan for you. You want to be treated. You want to wear your device. You want to be proactive about your health. And if you failed on it in the past, don't worry about it. Get back in the game again. If it's been 2 or 3 years, maybe you need to see your doctor again and talk to them about getting back on therapy. If you were supposed to be taking high blood pressure medication and you haven't, get back on it. It's just like high cholesterol medication and you've just been avoiding it. It's never too late to get back in the game. Well, we've gone through an excellent show, Jason. Good job. And we wish everybody a good year and a happy holiday next week.
Enjoy your Christmas.
Thank you.